From the studios of Tucson Business Radio X, recorded in the Stewart Title corporate offices on Broadway, you are now listening to The Mark Bishop Show. And now here's your host, Mark Bishop.
Welcome to another Mark Bishop Show on the BRX Network. My special guest is Sandra Yancey. She's the founder and CEO of eWomen Network, and she's on a mission to help 1 million women entrepreneurs achieve $1 million. This is each of them, $1 million in annual revenue. Wow. Welcome, Sandra.
It's wonderful to be with you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited. You know, before we get into it, allow me to share a little about you. Sandra is an internationally acclaimed award-winning entrepreneur. In fact, she's 5-time number one best-selling author. A number one best-selling author 5 times. That's not bad. Usually we're all a one-hit wonder. A life and business transformation expert. And for the award-winning TV show, you'd know this one, listeners, The Doctors. Everybody knows that, even in Australia. Producer of the critically acclaimed movie titled The Glow Project. And she's a philanthropist at the same time. And she left her very successful Fortune 500 corporate career to launch the eWomen Network in 2000. Now, does that about sum it up, Sandra?
It does. I can't believe it's been 20 years ago. Here we are celebrating our 20th anniversary in 2020. That's kind of cool.
Oh, man. Numerology, whatever it is, that sounds pretty cool to me. 20 and 20?
Feels like it should be. Something should be in alignment here, right?
Big time. Big time. But I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to ask you this. In all honesty, it wasn't always that rosy, was it, Sandra?
Oh, gosh, no. Heavens, no. Heavens, no. I mean,
I would have known
mm-hmm. what it is that I was going to go through. I think there's something to be said about, you know, just not knowing, right? Ignorance is bliss kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If I would have known, I probably would have said, I think I'll do something else.
I'm doing this interview with you because you're a great motivator and I like to help people. You know, there's lots of people out there today in our environment that need motivation, that need just that little extra something maybe to put them over the hill. And in fact, just 2 years ago into your business, right? It was only 2 years into your actual business. You were on the verge of bankruptcy. Yeah. This was the first one.
Yeah.
And you were ready to close your doors. What happened, Sandra? You know, what was the miracle?
It was when I look at it, I didn't understand it to be a miracle at the time, but it really was a miracle. And I give all the credit to my little Mexican mother, Maria Lopez, who, you know, just, you know, was raised in a convent and didn't have, you know, a lot of mentors and certainly didn't have parents. And you know, she met my father. My father died on my birthday when I turned 5 years old.
Oh,
so
here wow.
She didn't have parents, and now she needed to figure out how to be both parents. And I had a brother 13 months older that had a major heart condition and subsequently ended up dying when he was 27. I was 26 in a car accident.
Oh, my God, you've had some sadness, haven't you?
Yeah. And, you know, but everybody's got a story, Mark, right? I mean, everybody has.
Yeah, but the difference is you took it by the throat and said, this isn't going to beat me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're not one to give up.
At some level, you know, while I met my husband when I was in high school, I never felt, and we married, you know, shortly thereafter, I never felt comfortable ever having watched my mother, not being from this country, being able to speak English, but not read it well enough to get a job, get a driver's license. I think subconsciously, I didn't understand it until I got therapy many years later, you know, just never felt like I always felt like I had to be able to rely on myself, because you never know when the rug is going to get pulled from under you. And I never wanted to kind of end up like my mother, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Who really struggled for many, many years raising 3 children and one who was very sick. And, you know, she got out of poverty, to be completely transparent, by getting married, because that's what women did back in that day, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just always wanted to have my own thing. So, but ironically enough, she saved me, because I thought to myself, I mean, I am throwing good money after good money and bad money after bad money and good after bad and every combination there is. And I, I remember her just calling me one day, and I picked up the phone. This is before we were using cell phones for everything, because I had this little cordless phone, you know, at home. The kids were in the backyard. She was asking me how I was doing, and I just was having a really weak moment. And I said to her, I'm not doing well. I mean, this eWomen Network thing is so much harder than I ever thought it was going to be. Mm. And I said, I think what I need to do is kind of do it on the side and go get a job. My mom was like, well, how many hours are you putting into it now? And I'm like, I don't know, 12, 14 hours in between the kids, going to school, going to sleep, you know what I mean? And she says, well, how are you going to do it then on the side and then do a job? Because you're not really going to get a job. You're going to get a career position, which isn't 40 hours a week. So how are you going to find the time to do it? And I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And I said, maybe I should quit. And she said, well, are you sure you want to quit? And I said, I don't know.
I still don't know. You know, it's not like I have, you know, this wonderful vision in my mind and I know exactly what I want to do and nothing's going to stop me. You know, it wasn't like that, was it, really?
No, it wasn't.
But you weren't one to give up, you know.
You can't quit.
No, you can't. And you found your grit. And today, I mean, full credit to you. Today, you lead one of the biggest networks in North America. There's 500,000 women business owners connected through 118 chapters of eWomen Network that produces nearly 1,500 events annually, as well as, well, is my research spot on or what? I work my guts out doing this. Don't you dare laugh at me. As well as the premier international women's entrepreneur conference in North America. I mean, that's a hell of a thing, Sandra, for a girl that said, I don't know, Mom.
I know. And I said to her, so what do I do? And she said, I don't know, but this was the magic. This was the miracle moment. She said to me, Sandra, I don't know. I'm not a businesswoman, but I know one thing. You know, I gave birth to a daughter who can figure it out. Mm-hmm. And you know, Mark?
It's wonderful.
I can still feel it in my heart.
Yeah, I know. And I hear the tears. I lost my mom at 58 with cancer in Australia. And she was so young at 58. But she was my greatest friend and supporter, and I just made the big league in television, hosting national news and shows. And she had lasted till I got home to do it after years in the country and provincial training. And, you know, I mean, without her, I don't know what I would have done. Now, listen, tears are over. Let's get positive here. You were recognized by CNN, okay, as an American hero. An American hero. Oh. Yes, the eWomen Network Foundation has awarded cash grants up to 115 nonprofits and 183 scholarships to emerging leaders of tomorrow. So let's touch on those, if you don't mind, for a moment, Sandra. The nonprofits slash scholarships, okay? Yep. Sandra Yancey, the preeminent women's business expert, teaching women how to rise and succeed in spite of everything. So in your words, tell us about eWomen Network.
Well, eWomen Network is really a complete success system. There are three phases to any business. There's kind of that startup phase where you're figuring it all out and you're getting a lot of clarity on, you know, not only what your mission is and what your values, the type of ideal dream clients that you want to have, but now you're selling your products and services and now you're getting customers. Now you got to figure out how you serve them and bill them and handle it when they don't pay you or can't pay you on time. And now the work is starting to really explode to the place where, you know, you can't do it all. And then you move into a second phase, right? And that's called the growth phase. Now, you know, you need a team. You need other people to help you see what it is that you can't see. You need to learn skills that maybe you didn't need before, such as, you know, how to read a balance sheet and an income statement and those kinds of things. And then you move into what that leverage phase is. Now you've drilled deep, you've struck oil, you're cash flowing really well, and now you can leverage what it is that you've done into other business categories. Mm. And what we offer at eWomen Network is the solutions, no matter where you are in your journey of becoming an entrepreneur. It's just a one-stop shop for everything that you need to grow your business, to find your business besties, you know, the people that understand you, that get you, that support you, to find prospects and leads so you can transact business, right, so that you can increase your cash flow.
That's what appealed to me about the Women Network is amazing with the real stuff that goes on in reference to building a business, understanding a business, what you've got to give up, what you've got to do, how to run the business. I mean, it's not just meet for coffee and bloody jams and scones and have a cup of tea and talk about it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a networking association. A networking group for women and for those who call themselves entrepreneurs. Well, we're an entrepreneur network. That's what you are.
Right.
And you help acquire new customers, you promote what you offer, and you increase cash flow. I mean, this is amazing. I wish men had something like this to go to. I'll tell you now. Your members
men love eWomen Network. They actually do. You know, we're not anti-male. I mean, I'm married to a great husband. He happens to work for me now. You know, I'm raising a great, adult son. And I don't think you have to put anybody else down to lift yourself up. I think we're magical when we all work in unison and support each other. So it's not an anti-male environment.
But it's a women's network. Let me understand without being sexist. What's the deal here? You're not going to tell me that there's 400 in a room and two squizzy little guys down the back corner, are you? When you have your functions, it's for women, is it not?
No, men come too, and men join.
Really?
Men offer products. Men offer products and services which are perfect for women to launch, grow, and scale their businesses.
Listen,
I have such amazing men in my life that have helped me get over the $1 million mark to grow internationally now that we have chapters in Australia and the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I prevent all of the women in my network from not knowing these amazing men and what they've taught me? Why wouldn't I give them access to them?
Well,
there's plenty for everyone.
I understand,
right?
But from that angle, it makes sense. From that angle, it's clever, it's business, and it's astute of you.
Yep.
But from the other angle of today, God, it's hard to talk about this stuff, but, women also like their own thing, their own group, their own people, their own way, just for once to do something without having a man hanging on, or around, or interrupting. You understand? So that's why it surprises me.
It's a bigger mission. I'm not a girlfriend's network. I'm a business network. And, my mission is to get 1 million women to $1 million in annual revenue. And I want to give them access to everything and everyone that helps them get them there. And I feel like something is inherently wrong for me to say, that I want to get you to $1 million, but I'm not going to give you access to Mark Bishop. I'm not going to give you access to, Ken Cragen. I'm not going to give you access to some of the people that have been good to me.
Ah, that explains well, Boot.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
So your goal, you are from the heart. When you say $1 million for each darling that wants to build her little entrepreneur business, you're serious about that,
I am. I am, and it's not an overnight thing. It could take a minimum of 5 years. I think maybe a maximum of 5 years, but maybe $100,000 the first year, $250,000 the second, $500,000 the third, $750,000 the fourth, and $1 million the fifth year. And let's just say we fall short. Let's just say in 5 years, we didn't quite make it.
Now, who the hell cares?
I would rather people be, who's going to be mad at $800,000 in 5 years?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I tell you what, where do you sign up for this thing? Can you tell me? Your members are the heart of your organization. Through the philosophy of abundance, you consciously and intentionally look for ways to share information, leads, contacts, and business.
Contacts, resources.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, resources are critical in today because eWomen Network represents a heart-centered approach, right, that honors how women connect, collaborate, and create with each other. So the philosophy, for what I can understand, is give first, share always. And this 100%. Approach, that's the core of your membership, is it not?
Yeah, because then everybody's reciprocating, right? I mean, there's a lot of reciprocity going on when everybody is giving and sharing and helping. You're also on the receiving side, and nobody makes it alone. Nobody.
Mm.
Right? And, I look in the sky, and I there's still plenty of room for more stars in the evening. I mean, there's just always enough room. There's just always enough room, and it makes the sky beautiful and bright. And I think that's what we need in the world more than ever.
See, this is the stuff that used to motivate us as kids in Australia because, I mean, there's more people in Texas than our whole country, you understand. And, you know, whether we're a radio guy, a television guy, or an actor, we've got quite a few actors who have made it. I don't have to list them all now that have done exceptionally well, but we can only go so far because of the numbers in our country. Then we must come to the greatest country on earth, and that's the United States of America, if we're going to go bigger, stronger, and really get it out there. So your mission, you know, to help 1 million women entrepreneurs each achieve $1 million in annual revenue. It sounds too good to be true, Sandra.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, and Ken Cragen taught me this, and, you know, he's always said that the impossible is easier to achieve than the possible. And the reason why is because the possible is really crowded space. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the whole, you know, let me just do 10% more or 20% more. And what I've learned is when you go big, you know, it's like kind of traveling the extra mile without having to travel so far. There's not enough people going really big. And when you go big, it's wide open and people love a big vision. We're tracking it. I mean, we literally are tracking, you know, the success of our women. We celebrate the women that make it to the $1 million mark every single year.
Wow, so that'd be exciting.
I get to show women. I mean, yeah. And so one year, it's five people. The next year, it's 10 people. But, you know, everything starts, you know, and gets going and then reaches a tipping point. And
but
women just haven't had access to some of the things that they need to know in order to really scale their business. And that's my message this year is, you know, how do you really go about scaling what it is that you're doing? If you're going to work anyway, why not work and make it work really for you, right? And
but
it's
of
hard.
Course,
I'm
yeah.
the first one to admit it's hard. But you know what? Being broke is harder, right?
Well, not only that, doing it on your own sometimes is even worse. Here, you're part of a team, a hell of a team.
Right.
There's 500,000 women and men entrepreneurs connected with 118 chapters across North America. Yeah. You haven't added one today by any chance, have you? I need to know I'm right on. 118. North America, Australia, and the United Kingdom. Wow.
I know.
So what's next?
What's
your next big launch?
Right?
Where do you want to go next?
You know, what we do is we find pockets. So we have a strategy. We grow our chapters in basically a triangular kind of area. So, you know, we've got Tucson, right, and we've got Phoenix. So we'll look so that if a member, you know, we only charge one membership fee. So like a lot of chambers charge to go to a chamber, different chambers, you have to join each and every one.
Mm-hmm.
The Women Network, it's an international community. So for one price, you can visit all of our chapters.
So how does that work? You pay one fee in the year. Is that it? And you can go anywhere.
It's $357 one-time lifetime to get you all set up in our system and your private profile page and all of that. And then it's $19.95 a month. I mean, it's part of your marketing budget.
Right, 20 bucks, right. Yeah, that's two coffees at Not My Favorite Place. What's it called?
Exactly.
The coffee joint.
I know, I'm with you. Yeah.
You know why I don't like it? Because I can never get a seat. It's always got kids doing thesis or something with their darn computers, and I've just bought expensive coffee, and I can't sit down. Anywhere. That's why I don't like it. Your vision, the creation.
I was raised on Dunkin' Donuts. It's the best coffee on the planet for me, and it's all of $1.79 or something.
There you go. The creation of a complete success system. This is the vision.
Yep.
That unites women entrepreneurs and empowers them to achieve, succeed, and prosper. Now, let me understand something. Do you have annual gigs where people are invited up if they've achieved certain levels or what have you, you know, and they're awarded in front of everybody and promoted, or is that sort of jazz go on?
Yeah, we have an annual conference, and this year we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. It's in Dallas. It's in July.
In Dallas, all right.
And we will sell out a hotel and be an overflow hotel. We take over an entire convention center, 100% of the meeting space, the entire hotel with overflow. We're going to do it July 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
Wow, that
and
sounds
we
like
celebrate.
A hell of a
we acknowledge our what we call our made it to a millions.
Made it to amends.
Right.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, let me understand. The philosophy is focus and lift others as we climb. Right? We're not a solo gig here. We're buddies. We're a team. We want to help each other get there, right? We give first and share always. Is that it?
That's the fundamental. We have 9 core values, and so we're a values-based organization. So even in our company here, in my office, if we have more than 2 people that meet, that we start off with reciting our values so that everybody gets really centered in how we want to work together through respect and cooperation and accountability, fiscal responsibility, right? Trust, integrity, honesty.
Wow.
All of those things help make sure that we are focusing on the right way to be with each other. Because, you know, there are real toxic relationships. Not all customers are good customers. Not all money is good money. And as you get more successful, the power of that is that you get to pick who you want to do business with.
Well, not only that, it's as you get more successful, you find who your real friends are. And, you know, people pull you down, they're jealous, or this and that and this and that. If you're a member of this, you've got everybody, others to go to and support you.
Right, right.
That's
because,
wonderful.
You know, I can't make it my next dream alone. I need people to help me and lift me up. And I just don't think you can ask others to do what you're not willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's an integrity issue.
Exactly right. Yes.
But I'm not going to help you. What kind of crap is that, right?
Well, I love it. You're honest. I like that. Now, today, the eWomen Network Foundation has awarded 115 cash grants, if you're English, but I'm an Aussie, so it's grants, alrighty, and 183 scholarships, to emerging female leaders of tomorrow. This is your philanthropic work.
Scholarships. They're not college scholarships. I want to be honest and transparent. They are conference sponsorship. So what we do is we identify, in fact, on February 1st, the whole month of February, every single year, what we do is people can nominate other emerging leaders between the ages of 22 and 29. And the reason why it's 22 is because we bring them to our conference. We do have alcohol. And so we just need to make sure that everybody is over the age, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 22 and 29. And we identify kind of the bright and bright-eyed, the future leaders. I mean, if you look at the world they're inheriting, we need really bright people right now.
My word.
Right? That are going to take over and help us get out of some of the messes that we're in and lead, I think, a more purpose, peaceful, driven world.
Sandra, what motivates you every day to do what you do?
Well, I'm not motivated every day.
Jesus, Bird's really honest, isn't she? Hey, I like that. You know, she stays in bed all day sometimes. She's human. But you've got staff, haven't you?
I do. Oh, yes. I mean, here I am.
Right.
You know, growing up in a little farm town, and now I have 3/4 of a floor in a, you know, high rise in Dallas. Like, who knew? I didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
I have figured it out along the way by, you know, investing in myself, getting access to people way more successful than me. I always get nervous about people who take a whole lot of advice from other broke people. You know what I mean? I mean, it's, you know, you've got to give yourself permission to get in front of people who have already achieved what you've achieved.
All right. Now, you've brought up a good point there. I want to ask you something. How did you get over your fears of becoming successful then? Because everybody has that when you're starting off.
Yeah. The way I look at it, Mark, to be honest with you, is that you can fail at things you don't want. So if you're going to fail, why not fail going after what you do want? I know people who have wanted to pursue a career but went and did, say, let's say, a corporate job for, you know, 22 years, and in 22 years, their jobs get cut and they get laid off.
Mm.
They can't find anything they really want. And I just have felt like, you know, success is hard, being broke is harder, being miserable is even more hard.
Mm.
And so if you just got to pick your bucket, they're all hard. And I just decided, you know, I mean, some people say fear is an acronym for forget everything and run.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it as feel everything and rise. I mean, feel what you're afraid of, right? And know that, you know, everybody's waiting for the confidence to jump, but they got it backwards. The reality is you need the courage to jump. Confidence is a consequence of courage.
That's it.
When you have the courage to do things, you develop the confidence because you realize that things are never as bad as you hallucinate them to be.
There you go. You're amazing. That's exactly my thought, you know. Because I'm just a dumb Pisces, and I've followed the flow with my career and my life.
Right.
You know, and it just happens. You open the door, one door closes.
You're not dumb. You're savvy, and you're smart, you're charismatic. And, you know, you leverage all of the things that you're really good at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then you build. You build the team. And I don't believe, as a small business owner, that you have the luxury of hiring everything that you're not good at. I think that's a really good way to get taken advantage of. I do think you have to invest in learning some of the tough things about a business. I hadn't a clue how to read a balance sheet or an income statement. But I just started, you know, hiring people and saying, explain this to me.
Yeah, get them around you if you can do it. Yeah, do what you do well and maybe farm out the other, you know, if you need to. Yeah, I'm the same with that. Listen, what do you think holds back entrepreneurs the most from being successful?
I think that most of them are really afraid of wild success way more than they're afraid of failure. I think that, and particularly for women, we have not had enough role models. See, there's a lot of people that go out and say that women, you can't have it all. And I'm here to say that you can. I mean, I've been married 40 years. 40 years. The man that I met in high school, I am married to today. And now he works for me. At a time, you know, early in our lives, he was on Capitol Records, a drummer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really kind of trailed him. And we've managed through work. It's not been easy, right? I have children that actually like to hang out with me. My daughter now works in the firm. I've hired someone to help us over the next 10 years through succession planning so that I can move into a new role in the company. So I have a daughter that I see every single day. I have great girlfriends and great guy friends. You know, you can have it all, but you just can't have everything. And what I think most women do is they don't set good boundaries. There's so much effort on time management, you know, racing the clock. Well, my mother used to always say, the problem with the rat race is even if you win, you're still a rat. So it's not about the clock. It's about your boundaries. What are the things that you're doing that don't bring you joy, that you've got no business doing and isn't moving your life forward? And we've got to start saying no to those things so that we can say yes to the things that we want and not complain
that
things aren't opening up for you. Because if your hands are full carrying all kinds of baggage of crap you shouldn't be doing and adds no value in your life, then the universe knows that your hands aren't available to catch your next blessing.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, I can hear a lot of women saying that, yeah, but it's all right for her. She's got a 40-year good marriage. You know, she's not divorced, hasn't been through the pits.
My husband and I have been in therapy. We've chosen to work things out together. It's not been a piece of cake.
Nothing's ever easy. I mean, if you love it, you work at it, no matter what, right?
Right. Right.
You know, it's interesting.
Parents. My mother, you know, was a seamstress to get by until she remarried. I mean, I had to go to college. I never had the sorority experience. I had to work. And I worked full time, went to school full time. I mean, you know, when you lose your excuses, you find your results.
Yeah, I like that. When you lose your excuses, you find your results. That's very good. Can I borrow that?
You can have it. I'm sure I got it from somebody else. You know, nothing. I mean, I'm a product of what I've learned. I'm really a product of what I've learned.
Okay.
Right? Which means that somebody else had to teach me. Yep.
You are currently listening to The Mark Bishop Show, broadcasting from the Stuart Title Studio on Broadway in Tucson, Arizona. Back to the show.
You're listening to The Mark Bishop Show on the Business Radio X Network across America. Now, my guest, special guest, is Sandra Yancey, the CEO and founder of one of the most successful organizations across North America, and now globally as well. And I'm talking about eWomen Network. What have you done to be good at sales, Sandra? Closing deals, being profitable? I mean, you know, were you always confident that way, or did you have to learn how to walk the talk, so to speak?
100% had to learn. And I believe that once you understand that there are basically about four reasons why people don't buy from you, then you can stop and say, what is going on? And now you can lean into the resistance. It's, to me, it's not overcoming objections, because you're not supposed to overcome them. You're supposed to lean into them and really break through. And so, you know, first is, you know, you're trying to talk to someone who has no need for what you have to offer. And if they don't see that there's a need for what it is, whether it's a product or service, I mean, you're wasting your time, right? So understand that you've got to know how to ask questions so that they can see the need for your product and service. And if they see no need, it's called next. Some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting, right? So no need. The second one is they're in no hurry. That means that that you need to know that there's a cycle that people go through, and that's why you've got to be constantly planting seed. I call it seeding. You're planting seeds, and you're keeping in touch, and you're nurturing those people so that when the time comes up, they remember you. So you're always stoking the fire, planting seeds, right? The third one is they have no money. And that's often a cop-out, because what I know about women is they say the average American woman has at least 5 pairs of black pants in her closet. So what that tells me is that we will justify the need for something if we feel like we really need it or it has value. It's going to make a difference in our lives. We will find the money. We do, right? And if we don't, and you're talking to someone who really doesn't have the money, right, then you need to decide whether this is someone where you want to tap into your philanthropy, you want to tap into your gifted heart and help them, or it's just not now and move on, right? And then the final thing is no trust. So if people, it doesn't matter how great your product or service is, if people don't trust you, they're not going to do business with you. So sometimes you haven't earned the trust. You don't slow down. You don't ask good questions. You don't answer them fully and completely. You don't notice their signals when their eyes are going to the ceiling. That tells you that they're trying to assimilate what you're saying. You might want to stop and say, sounds like you're thinking about something. Looks like you're thinking about something. Did I talk too fast? Was it too confusing? Can I clarify? Because a confused buyer never buys. I mean, I have developed this skill. I've invested in it, first of all. I've invested in learning how to sell. But mostly what I think is it's a trust funnel. People have to learn to trust you, and we have to slow down enough to give people opportunities to get to know us a little bit better and not be so rushed on our agenda. And that's why the seeding process is always so important, because then you don't come across so desperate.
That's right.
Right? People don't like that feeling of someone being desperate to sell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You buy it often out of guilt, or you are totally turned off. You never want to speak to the person again. So understanding the psyche of the sales process, I think, is the most important thing.
So once you've helped someone define what they need to do and why it's important, what strategies do you use to move them from, you know, continuing to talk about their challenges to taking action?
Well, the most important thing is to find the gap. Where are they now versus where they want to go? Because once you identify the gap, now you've identified the need, right?
Right.
So an example might be, it's the first of the year. What are your revenue goals this year over last year? So if someone says, well, over last year, I want to make 20% more revenue. And I know people that will say, I'm going to double my revenue. Then the question becomes, now there's a gap, right?
You've got to be realistic, too.
Last year and this year. Now you say, so what is it that you're going to be doing differently that's going to allow you to achieve that goal? Because doing more of the same, right, is the rat on the hamster wheel. Going round and round and round. It's not about doing more. It's about being smarter so you can do things differently.
Right. So it tunes into the, if you do the same things over and over again, that's the first thing to insanity, right? Same thing. You're not going to improve anything.
Even if it's working, though. But even if it's working, a lot of times that phrase is used when something isn't working. It's insanity to do the same thing over and over and over again if you're already working 10 hours a freaking day. What are you going to do? Just put the pedal to the metal and do more of the same and work now, what, 12 hours, 14 hours? Is that not insane?
Right.
The opportunity is to say, wait a minute here. You want more. The version of you today is not the version of you that's needed in order to do more. you have to step up into a new understanding, a new learner, a new business model, a new a new product or service, a new way to communicate. And that maybe not, it's not all one to one. Maybe you develop a a database and a nurture campaign, and you learn how you drip on people, feeding people, and that kind of thing. I mean, to get more, there's only so many hours a day. That's why it's not about time management. It's about boundary management. I mean, I think Steve Jobs, God rest his soul, said it best. He said, you know, you have got to constantly innovate. And in the process, you're going to make mistakes, admit them, fix them, and then get onto the business of innovating. But we don't take action because we want everything to be perfect.
Yeah, right.
And what I think is most important is take imperfect action is better than taking no action.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. So let me ask you this then. What do you consider to be strategies to stay relevant as we go into 2020?
Well, I'm a student always of watching the greats. You know, there's a really good show with Bill Gates, the Bill Gates story, and I think it's on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken. And I watched it twice. I watched it twice just because I was just curious to see what Bill Gates was
up to. What is it? Is it a documentary or a movie? What?
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Okay. Oh, I love documentaries.
And what he is basically doing is getting, you know, sanitation toilets into third world countries because people are dying from, feces and urine getting in their drinking water and that kind of thing.
It's heartbreaking stuff.
They don't have the ability to build manufacturing plants. It's a very fascinating story. Then I watched it a second time just to see how he thinks. What questions is he asking? What decisions did he have to make? How did he go about making those decisions? I mean, honestly, the answers are so much closer than what we think. The problem is, I think, is that most people are taking advice from people who haven't proved a significant level of success. I'm not the smartest cookie in the cookie jar by any means, but what I can tell you I'm really smart at is learning from people significantly more successful than me. I might not be able to do what they do. I can't adopt it, but I can change that O and adopt to an A and adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And I can adapt what they've done in my world to make it work for me. And in that way, I'm making quantum leaps versus baby steps. Because to me, it's too hard to take it one step at a time.
Yeah, you did bring up earlier, though, you've got to take it upon yourself to take changes, to do things. It all comes back to a bit of guts, doesn't it, really? Deep inside, what do I really want? Do I want this? Do I really want to build this business? I mean, what do I need to do it? Can I do it? You know?
Right. Or I'm just going to go do it. I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to be okay with not being perfect. I'm going to be okay with, I'm going to try 10 things, and 7 of them are going to work, and 3 of them aren't.
Now, let me ask you this then.
I can look up, I get up.
Have you found with your experience then, and the thousands of women you've dealt with over the years, and men, but there's a thing there that says, yes, I could go do it, but I'm scared of looking bad in front of my friends, or I'm scared of failing in front of my friends. You know, where are you now with your business, Mary, John, Peter, Tom, Dick, and Harry? Well, I'm doing something new, and I'm trying. Have you found that?
Yeah, but, people ask me all the time how I'm doing, and I'm always saying, girl, I'm working it. Man, I'm working it. Every day I'm working it. It's less about impressing someone versus impressing upon yourself. If you feel like you're uncomfortable telling your friends kind of what's going on, then you got the wrong friends. You got the wrong friends.
There you go. That is so true. I'm speaking with the CEO and founder of eWomen Network, a global organization started from nothing, just an idea. Many moons ago, and I'm fortunate to have her. And if you want to, you can go online, you can go to www..
We gotcha.
All right. eWomenNetwork.com. Now, that's a wonderful thing to do. You sit in your podgies, your what? Your pajamas. You can sit in your pajamas at 2 in the morning and just study the site and read and look and have a cocoa. That's the whole beauty of the web. You can do it when you've got the time. And that's the website URL. There's a lot of other stuff. There's linkedin.com/company/eWomen Network. There's the guest Twitter URL. Look, there's all that sort of jazz. Facebook is there. Instagram, you know, all this stuff I still can't do myself. It drives me nuts. I came from a different era, you know what I mean? But my business, yeah, my personal business, I need all this jazz. You know, and I have to find people to do it for me, you know, it's very difficult.
There you go.
But I understand that you're going to be, this is exciting, this is exciting. Now, I am, you know, interviewing you very early January 2020. I understand that you will be at the 11th Annual Success Summit in Phoenix, good old Phoenix, next month, which makes it, what, February?
I'm so excited.
So what can you tell my listeners
like
about that event?
Of people from Tucson that are coming.
Oh, there's a busload of Tucsons coming up, is there?
Yes. Exactly.
From Tucson.
Exactly. Karen Miller-Wise. Let me tell you, Karen Miller-Wise is the managing director in Phoenix, and Carol Johnson's the managing director of eWomen Network.
Yes, she's the new managing director, yes, for Tucson this year.
Rock stars.
Yeah, lovely people. Yes, I've interviewed Carol when I was on radio here, and I've invited her to come back again onto Tucson Means Business a little bit later on. And she said, "Do you want to come up to this?" And I thought, "Oh my God, I can't go to that." But you know, I thought about it. I'd love to take my little remote station up there and then do a lot of interviews with you and all sorts of women in business. Yeah, I wouldn't. You know, that's got merit. All right, but let's get this right now for everybody. It's the date. And where and when again, so they can get now and book and do stuff, you know.
Okay, it's Valentine's week. It's February the 11th, right? And it's basically plan for the day, right? It starts at 10 in the morning. We're going to be done at 4. We're going to be meeting at the McCormick, which is in Scottsdale. It's 7421 North Scottsdale Road. Mm-hmm. And you can connect with Karen Miller-Wise. She's the managing director. You can go to eWomenNetwork.com, click on events,
and it's all
then
there.
Click on Arizona, then click on either Tucson or Phoenix. Take you,
right?
And they've got their phone numbers and their email addresses. Reach out to them and come and meet me.
Let's talk about
your story.
Let's talk about the date and stuff. Now, you said the 11th. What day is that, as a matter of interest?
So February the 11th is on a Tuesday.
Okay, so it's a Tuesday. Now, one would want to get up there on the Monday late to stay somewhere, yes? Or from Tucson, it's only 2.5 hours, so you could leave early morning. And you could go there direct, and then it's all day. Then what happens after the event on the Tuesday?
Well, then there's the what we call the afterglow, right, where we hang out, have a glass of whatever your choice of drink is, your libation of choice.
Ah, right? The afterglow. Enormous networking, yes, enormous networking, because people are coming in from all over the world, aren't they? You know, it's not just Tucson and Phoenix.
Was sponsored by Google.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's sponsored by, well, let's give a wrap to the sponsors, all right. Let's do that.
Of course, Dell and Google and UPS and Liberty Mutual, right? I've got some really great companies.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, terrific.
I'm going to be speaking on how to scale your business for greater impact, more money, and greater prosperity overall.
Oh, that's terrific.
It's going to be powerful.
Very powerful.
I'm going to give you, let's see here, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five fundamental tips that I have used and still use to scale my business.
You're going to give
lots of places I want to go and grow.
And that's what you're going to do on the day live.
Yeah. I'm going to teach you the five things that I literally do in my business today that's allowed me to scale from being just a small town girl out of Dayton, Ohio, and, you know, moving to Dallas and building now a multi-million dollar global business.
Wow. That's amazing. I love success stories, Sandra.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, Mark, it's not as hard, I think, as people imagine it to be. You know.
Ohio. Isn't that where you dig spuds or make spuds out there or something? Isn't it Pleiades? Aren't they made in Ohio? What else? What else you got out there? Do you do corn and wheat and all that jazz too?
Corn.
Cornhuskers. All right. And then you move to Dallas. Everything's big in Dallas, right?
And it is. I mean, I thought I lived in the Big D, Dayton, and then I moved to Dallas. I was like, oh my God.
How does a girl look at all of that?
Really out of place.
You know, when I first came here many moons ago.
Building a networking organization.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody here.
What was it? 17 years ago when I... No, 18 years ago when...
18 for
first,
you?
For me, no, 18 years ago when I first stepped on the shores of America. And the first game that I saw of your football was the 49ers with Ricey and Steve Young throwing the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Playing the Cowboys, from Dallas.
I
remember was the cheerleading squad. They were the best looking blondes I've ever seen in my life. And being a leg man. There you go. I mean, you know, I'm just a natural red-blooded Australian.
If you really want to peel back the business, that cheerleading thing, let me just tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, they sell over, I don't know how many millions of their calendar. I mean, if you just look at the business, right, I'm always curious about
me too.
How they run the business, you know?
Right. Yeah. And the millions of dollars is it in calendars they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope it goes to some good causes between you and I.
I do too.
Because you put a lot of money towards nonprofits. I don't want people to think, this Sandra Yancey, she's a millionaire-ess. She started this network. Everybody pays once a month, once a year. She sits back and bloody, you know, makes all this money through trying to promote. I tell you what, people don't understand what it took you to get there and what you're trying to really do for others and the money you give out.
What it takes to run the business.
Yep. Yeah, it's a lot of work, isn't it? A lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, and, Sandra,
you know,
45.
What else am I going to do?
Well, you can get bigger. You can get bigger. I can see our own TV network. I would love to produce a television network for you. Can you imagine the success stories of the women and this and that? Podcasting as well. Woo-wee, I can see it now. But anyway, listen, Sandra, it's time to go, and thank you so much for the time you've given me.
You're such a gem, Mark. I am going to see you, I hope, on February the 11th in Phoenix. I'd love to meet you.
I would,
right,
too.
Give you a hug and just connect eye to eye, face to face, right?
Yep. Eyeball to eyeball. I'd like that, yeah.
That's right. That's
I really would sometimes because so I interview people from all across the globe and, you know, I never get to meet them. So here's a real chance for a gem like you and a real superstar that I look up to. And it's amazing. And thank you so much for giving me your time.
And vice versa, my friend. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be with you.
You got it. Goodbye, Sandra. Thank you. Good luck with the function and everything. All right. Good job.
Thank you.
Sandra Yancey, ladies and gentlemen, and what an absolute darling, huh? Very smart woman. eWomen Network doing wonders for people, not only across North America, but around the globe. And you heard it here with me, Mark Bishop, on the Business Radio X Network.